By the way.
Rose Thomas is coming around. I'm going to use my phone for just a couple of seconds here because I got to tell Jonathan something. Lord bless. Not by checking email. And Lord bless, brother.
As long as you're not doing Facebook, Will.
That's right.
We're all thankful to be here this morning and thankful that God's blessed us to be here. And good to see each of you and glad to have our visitors with us today. And certainly we pray most of all that the Lord will continue to be with us and bless us. And we do ask an interest in your prayers as we come before you at this time. Just like to share with you some thoughts this morning on the subject of praise. Of course, we all understand that's why we're here, in particular as far as this occasion is concerned. But I hope we also understand that praise is not limited to just a few minutes of time one day a week, but it's something that for the child of God, and especially for the believer, that it should be a part of their constant thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, of course, that we have to neglect the things of life that we have responsibilities for. But what it does mean is that while we're carrying out our duties and responsibilities that are God-given, that if we do them in the way that the Scriptures teach us, which is the way that God is teaching us to do them, well, then that's praiseworthy. You know, praising God is not just limited to singing a few songs and praying and preaching. But every aspect of this world that God created, He created it for the purpose of praise. You know, the morning, there's a Scripture that talks about the morning stars lift up their voices in praise unto His holy name. And if God teaches us from His Word that the inanimate objects of prey of creation praise Him, well, then certainly we who are part of the animate objects of His creation ought to be willing to praise Him as well. Because the bottom line is simple. God created this world for praise, for His praise, for His glory, to sing His majesty, to attribute to Him all things that are right and good. And that's the way it is. And the only reason that we have to work at it like we do, or I say the only reason, maybe the main reason would be the better way to say it, is because sin entered the picture. And sin keeps us from praising Him as we ought to while we live here in time. And of course, sin keeps us from it most of the time because we let sin keep it from us doing that. Of course, there's praise, and then there's praise. There's true praise of God, and then there's a false praise. That kind of sounds hollow in a way, but there is praise. There are times, there are examples, when men attempt to praise God, or they are praising God and they call it that, but it's not true praise. There is true praise and there is that which is not a true praise. But true praise, one of the marks of true praise that we can look for is, where does praise come from? The Bible teaches that true praise comes from the heart, and not from man's sinful heart, but from the child of God's regenerated heart. Because one thing that God does whenever He blesses us to be born in the Spirit of God and gives us that new heart is that He gives us the ability to praise. He gives us the want to, the desire to praise. And He gives us the means to praise. Having all of that, then we can praise Him. And one thing I like to think about when it comes to praise is, let me share this verse of scripture with you. Psalm 4, verse 7. The psalmist David said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." God, the psalmist reminds us that what God puts in our heart, that he puts gladness in our heart. You know, I believe that when you look at the list of in Galatians chapter 5, of that which is the fruit of the Spirit, that maybe the first thing, at least one of the first things, is joy. J-O-Y. Sometimes some get the idea that the only way to truly praise God is through afflictions. Is, you know, instead of wearing a smiley face, to wear a frowny face. But gladness and joy means that our expressions of praise should come forth as when those people look at us, or when others look at us, or even when we come away from praise, that we say that that's a blessed and a happy people, and such is the case of those who worship the Lord. There's and besides, after all of that, you know, I've lived long enough to think about it this way, that my life is full enough of sorrow. I have plenty of tribulation. I have more than my share, at least I feel like I do, of things to be unhappy about. So I don't have to worry about that part of my life. And one thing that God gives me and gives his children to counter that, to help us deal with that, is joy and gladness. And he does so in our heart. So the praise of God should reverberate with gladness. Are you glad to be here? You know, is it... I know that's a loaded question, but are you glad to be here? If you're glad to be here, I believe the reason that you're really glad to be here is because there's gladness in your heart that God has placed there. Psalm 33, verse 21, the psalmist tells us that for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Praise comes from the heart. Our heart, he says. Gladness is in our heart. And here the psalmist says, our heart shall rejoice in him. Now, there's one thing about you know, this that we believe and understand as we study the scriptures, and that we as Primitive Baptists believe and try to preach, is that, you know, what God puts in the heart, if when God blesses an individual to be born of the Spirit of God, it's a very rare case that at some point in their life that what God has put in, the evidence of it's going to be made known somehow, some way, somewhere. It will be made known, if nothing else, than what the Apostle Paul teaches us from Romans chapter 7. When I would do good, evil is present with me. You ever had that conflict in life? That all the good that you try to do, it seems like that it's beset by evil. It's beset by doubt. It's beset by all kinds of things. Well, that's an evidence that God's blessed you to be born of the Spirit of God.
Right.
And you're born of the Spirit of God. He's put joy and gladness and all those things in your heart, blessed you to be able to think and spiritually, and blessed you to love him and so forth. But he didn't take away your sinful nature. It's still there, alive and well, and running as strong as it can be. It's kind of like, I thought about it this the other day. You know, my evil nature is like a rattlesnake in a corner, always ready to strike. It don't matter how well I treat him, don't matter how good I try to be, just that quick, there's a sinful thought. Just that quick, there my nature has reacted, even though I don't want it to. He says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. We know that in the heart, the Apostle Paul talked to the church at Corinth. He described it as an unspeakable gift. Well, just because Paul tells us that he describes it and talks about it as an unspeakable gift, he thanked God for that unspeakable gift. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak, that we shouldn't respond whenever God blesses us to feel him and to know him in our heart. But the point is that as far as the heart and praise is concerned, yes, true praise comes from the heart. True praise, it's like a well. It bubbles, and it's going to come out in some kind of an expression. And that's how God has designed it. But there are times in praise, there are times in our experience with God, in many kinds of situation, where we come to the place that sometimes words just simply are inadequate. It doesn't matter. You can get the concordance, whichever one you prefer. Or you can get the dictionary, whichever one you prefer. And you can look for words. And probably if you could put all those words into one word, it wouldn't be adequate. Paul says we thank God for that unspeakable gift. That's when praise takes us to, shall I say, to the next level. When it's praise in the heart for sure, and it's not a praise that lips that words can form, and that can be expressed vocally, but it's an expression that's from your spirit to his spirit, or from his spirit to your spirit. And such a blessing that those times are. The next thing I'd like for us to think about when it comes to praise. There is praise has got to come from the heart. It is an individual thing. You know, God touches your heart. You know, God loves you because you belong to him. You know, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you belong to him, he knows you. And that's not just in the sense that he's aware of who you are. He knows you intimately. It's he that's made you and not you yourself. But as much as that connection is, the Bible also teaches us that God requires us, God even commands us, you know, to praise him with others. You know, as I understand the scriptures, I believe I would be correct in saying that first of all, praise has to begin with the individual. It's got to start with you. You got to be willing to. You got to want to. You got to have a desire to. And you got to be wanting, desiring, and willing to, whether you're by yourself or with others. But you don't just reach a point in life that you just want to be by yourself when it comes to praising God. Because the Bible teaches us that we're to come together to praise him. In fact, the psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 34 and verse 3. There are a lot of invitations in the Bible, by the way. We do believe in invitations. Here's the psalmist. Here's an invitation. It's an invitation in the form of command, I think. But he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Magnify the Lord with me. You know, magnify the Lord with me. Well, you know what? If I understand correctly when we come together, when two or three are gathered together, and we come together for that purpose to worship and to praise, or even when two or three come together for other purposes, of course, I'm going to think positive, you know, all good purposes. But really, when two or three come together, whatever the purpose, two or three can usually get more done than one can alone. Guess what? That's true of worship. That's true of praise. And apparently, as I understand it from the scriptures, it must be that that's what God wants. He wants us to praise Him. In fact, in the book of Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, there are a number of times that the commands of the Lord for various and sundry times of the year, various and sundry offerings and sacrifices, they were to come together and do those things in the assembly of the congregation. And that's when God would accept those offerings and sacrifices. Oh, there were individual things that they had to do. But there were times that God required. He commanded them to assemble themselves together, a form of the worship for the purpose of praise. So should we. We should worship God from the heart. We should be willing to do that at all times and at any times in our life, but we should know that God commands us, teaches us, requires of us, and expects us when the time is appointed to gather together with others that we do that, such as we've done here today. And we worship Him and praise Him together. Amen. Maybe this is a silly thought, but it's the thought I have in Him. Have you ever wondered if you'll ever have any personal time in heaven? I don't know. But think about it. We have personal time here, and I believe personal time is important. But it shouldn't be the only time that we want, especially when it comes to praise. Thirdly, the spirit of praise is a spirit of song. You know, preaching's important. The gospel, preaching the gospel is part of the cornerstone of the foundation of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul taught the church at Corinth. It's part of the cornerstone of our praise. It's the meat of why we're here today, but it's not all that there is, to be part of the worship and praise. There's to be the spirit of song, to worship God in song. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, God's people have always worshiped Him in song. Worshipped Him with a song, worshipped Him with music, worshipped Him with singing, and in fact, so much so that the psalmist reminds us that when it comes to God dealing with us, in Psalm 40, you remember he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." God brought me out of this horrible pit. And whether you look at that or believe that that David is talking about this is a regeneration experience or a conversion experience or both, think about it from the standpoint that God rescued him. God brought him out of that terrible condition that he's describing here. And he says, "He set my feet upon a rock, He established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth." What kind of song? Even praise unto our God. Then many shall do what? No, see it. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Here it would have been natural, wouldn't it? You know, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, many shall hear it. That just seems natural, but that's not what the scripture says. David said, many shall see it. It goes back to the adage that we talk about a lot of times. You know, we'd much rather see people living what they believe than just telling you what they believe.
Right.
And in thinking about praising God, you know, many shall see it. Praise, there's a place for private praise, but there's also the place for public praise. And whenever God puts a song in our heart, you know, we should not be ashamed to sing praises to God. And realizing that many shall see it. That certainly reminds us of the possibility that many can see it. And maybe we ought to think about it from the standpoint that many ought to be seeing it, because we ought to be living our lives in such a way that they shall or will see it. And of course, we know that in Ephesians and Colossians, the Apostle Paul admonished those two congregations, you know, to speak to one another, to, you know, in psalms and hymns and songs of praise. Do we think about whenever we're singing our congregational hymns and the hymns that we're selecting? You know, whenever this person calls out number 110, and we turn and we're seeing that number 110 is whatever number, I think it's Joy to the World. I don't know what it is. Let's just say it's Joy to the World. Well, maybe that's what on their thought. They're having thoughts of joy. Or they call out Amazing Grace. You know, whenever people call out Amazing Grace, I'm thinking about, well, now, are they wanting to sing Amazing Grace because they are thinking about God's amazing grace? Or are they thinking about a wretch like me? Better yet, maybe they're thinking about that it's God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. See? He's put a new song in our hearts, and we're to admonish one another. We're to sing, praise and hymns to one another. And not just select hymns because that was Daddy's favorite hymn, or that was Mother's all-time classic. You know, I can remember Mother singing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that in the base degree, so to speak. But if that's the only reason we want to hear those songs, maybe the object of our praise is a little off key there. Okay? Because singing hymns of praise, it's all right to remember that was Dad's favorite song. But it's more important to remember what that song says as far as worship and praise. Hopefully it's the Father's song that we're trying to sing. And in closing, there's never truly a wrong time to express praise to God. In Matthew chapter 26, it says that whenever they got through with the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and they went out.